Thank you so much, and I want to thank Mark and all the other my fellow leaders in CTNA who've welcomed me so warmly to Newbury, and my family and I, Caroline, Silas, we are absolutely loving this beautiful town that God has brought us to serve in. I also want to thank everyone who drives a car in Newbury. You have done wonders for my prayer life. And I want to apologize if I was in the wrong lane on the Robin Hood roundabout. I sincerely didn't mean to be. I want to just share just a few moments, some thoughts on the cross before we follow the cross up to the Methodist Church. You know, Paul said in Corinthians 1:18, he said, "The cross, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us, believers, it is the power of God." And it's so wonderful that today, from all different parts of the Christian community here in Newbury, we gather in unity around the cross of Jesus Christ. We all look to the cross as that centerpiece of our faith. Charles Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher, he said this: "If I was to summarize all of my theology in four words, it would be this: Christ died for me." So what is that power? Today we look at the suffering we can see around us, the different stations of the cross. We see the physical torment that Christ went through to purchase for us forgiveness of sins, eternal life. But also there's a spiritual side. He bore our sins. He took upon himself the sin of the world. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't a gospel story gone wrong. The Bible says that Jesus said, "No man takes my life from me, but I lay it down." Revelation tells us that he was the Lamb of God slain from the very foundation of the earth. He had already, the Godhead had already decided, "I will come and rescue fallen humanity." I want to just look at three areas of the cross. Firstly, what the cross has done for you and for me. There's a wonderful divine exchange, and there are others who could preach on that far better than me, but the verse that stands out that I constantly meditate and enjoy the fruit of is 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, "He who knew no sin became sin for us, that in him we might become the righteousness of God." At the cross, we see that all are falling short. Even falling short of our own standards, let alone God's standards. We see at that cross that the sinless Christ, the spotless Lamb of God, he took our sin. He bore it on that cross. But there's an exchange, that we might become the righteousness of God. He gives us that gift of his righteousness. Our righteousness would never stand us in good stead before a holy God. He gives us his righteousness. You know, for a number of years, when I first became a Christian, I knew I was forgiven. I knew I had eternal life. I knew I was a child of God. But I lived in a constant cloud of feeling guilty, feeling condemned, not knowing God's acceptance, until that truth and other truths began to sink into my heart. That he paid for me. The price was paid in full. Peter says in 1 Peter 1:18, "Knowing we were not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ. It's paid in full. And I believe that God wants all of us to know this morning, as we look at Good Friday, maybe you've been walking and you know sort of something of God's redemption, you know God's forgiveness, but God wants you to know, I have paid in full. I want you to live in the good of what I died to give you. I want you to live knowing that my precious blood has paid for everything. And if there's something comes to mind, well, I just encourage you, appropriate it afresh. Bring it to the cross. And let he who knew no sin receive that, and let receive his forgiveness, his righteousness. At the end of Christ's time on the cross, he cried out, "It is finished. I have paid in full for your redemption." Some of us need to hear that. I need to hear that. He's done it all. Now, let's receive it and let's live in the good of it. He died that we might know his gift of righteousness. Secondly, the cross is not for just us. It's for everyone in our town. Amen. It says in 1 John 29, John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world." He's paid for the sin of the person that lives next door to you that's just moved in. He's paid for the sin of the people that live homeless in our community. He has paid for the sin of all of this town. And they don't know that. They need to know that. They need to hear that. They need to receive that. They need to believe that. But he's paid for the sin of our town. And that's why we don't just hold on to the truth of Calvary. They need to hear what God has done. Because unless someone shares with them, they're not going to be able to receive it. I'm not saying everyone's saved. What I'm saying is, it's for everyone. And I just want to encourage all of us, this Easter time, take some time to reach out to those around you who haven't yet received God's forgiveness, who haven't yet received this wonderful news. Jesus died for the sin of the world. It's not for us to hold on to it. It's for us to share it and let our town know. Lastly, there's the call of the cross. Today, I believe, at the end of this time, we're going to follow the cross up Newbury. It's not the High Street. What's the name of the road? Northfields. We're going to follow the cross. The great hymn, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross," says this. It says, "Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." There's a call of the cross. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, he says, "If anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Someone walking in Jesus' time carrying a cross was basically a dead man walking. And God calls all of us to take up our cross, to follow him. And I believe this, that the most fulfilled life is one where we follow Jesus. It says his cross. Each of us have an individual call by God, an individual part to play in his wonderful kingdom. Today, as we look at the cross, there's the call of the cross. Come and follow me. I remember hearing about a Russian Christian during the communist era, and he was standing in the courtroom being tried for expressing his faith. And the judge saw that he wasn't fearful or worried. And he said, "Don't you understand, young man? I have the power to take your life away." And the Russian Christian said this, "Sir, I died many years ago." My friends in the Middle East, for them to take up their cross is very real. I have friends in Syria, I have friends in Lebanon, Jordan, other places. For them it's very, very real. It could mean the loss of their life. But they choose to take up their cross and serve God. I have a friend in Damascus, in the middle of a civil war, where Christians literally are still crucified. And he said, "This is one of the most fruitful times of my whole life, because we're seeing more people touched by the gospel. We're feeding more people and touching more people." For him, taking up the cross means serving God in a war zone. It can mean many different things to different ones of us. But there's a challenge to us today as we look at Christ's cross, is for all of us to serve him in our town or wherever God leads us to take up the cross. Let's pray. Father, we just want to say thank you for the cross. Father, I want to thank you that the blood of Christ has paid in completion, in entirety, for our salvation. We receive and appropriate afresh the forgiveness, the righteousness that was purchased for us at Calvary. Father, I pray also that you will continue to enlarge our hearts, that we would see that you have paid for the people around us, the people that work with us, the people that live near us, Lord. And Lord, give us the heart to share the good news that Christ has paid to purchase eternal life. Lord, I pray, Father, that you will enable by your grace that as we focus on the cross, that we too will take up our crosses and go where you want us to go and do what you want us to do in this town and wherever you may lead us. In Jesus' name, amen.